Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. And this is Ashland Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 190X. I do not know which episode I'm on. I forgot to check before I left the house. I'm en route down to the Outer Banks of North Carolina. It's Saturday, March 8, 2014. Thanks for coming along. Getting ready to cross the bridge. I'm on the bridge now, passing, going over the Currituck Sound to the Outer Banks of North Carolina, Eastern North Carolina, probably one of my favorite spots to go, and I'm en route to help Brandon Wilson, who's the race director for the Graveyard 100. That race started this morning at 5 a.m. in Corolla, North Carolina, and this year it's going to be point-to-point from Corolla to Hatteras, and I'm pretty excited about that. I'll be able to drive the route that I ran here 2 years ago when I did the 100K event of this, or race of this overall event. This is the race's third year. The first year was 2012, was held in March of each year. I ran the 100K in March of 2012, finishing in 15 hours and some change, which I think was good for 8 out of 15 runners for that. But the bigger event is really the 100-miler. This year's a couple hundred runners down here, some elite runners whose names I've forgotten. Last year I came down to volunteer. I was appointed the finish line captain. The finish line was not in Hatteras last year because there was a problem with the road and a bridge and some damage to one of the bridges from kind of a half hurricane that came through. So Brandon had to make the race out and back. So the finish line was up in the, pretty much up in Corolla. And it worked out pretty cool working the finish line. So this year it's down in Hatteras. And so I'm sure I'll feel some nostalgia as I get on the road to and retrace that route that I covered on foot 2 years ago. I was really hoping to do that last year, and I was very disappointed when we learned that the finish line was going to be moved. But this year it's going to be down there in Hatteras. And the reason that's cool to me is because not only do I get to retrace the route and kind of see it in during, because most of the race was at night, but the point-to-point race structure is really one of my favorites, and I'm very happy to be the finish line captain again this year. And what does that entail? Well, the main thing is just to manage the finish line, get it set up, because Brandon is essentially he's been up since last night, and he's going to be, you know, having the goofiness when he's sleep deprived. He really just needs somebody to kind of help out and make sure that everybody gets in okay. Their times are recorded, and they're directed to post-race aid. And he never know when things might come up. Of course, he wants to be at the finish line and to greet every runner. That was something that did not happen in the first year. I remember when I crossed the finish line, there was nobody there except for a bunch of people huddled in cars. My wife and crew did get out to greet me at the finish, and then I can't think of her name. Brandon's wife Heather got out of her car and gave me my finishing medal, and there was no race director, wasn't there. It was very nothing going on. Of course, the finish lines of ultras are not big post celebrations. You don't have a band. You don't have food tables or things like that. They're kind of somewhat low key. However, you do expect there to be somebody from the race or somebody there kind of congratulating you and recording your time. So that last year that was much better at the finish line, and then this year it'll be even more because the finish line is in the parking lot of the Graveyard of the Atlantic Museum. It's private property, whereas last year the finish line was kind of on the side of the road, and we had to seek permission to set it up. What Brandon has is a kind of a shed, that shack that gets set up, that has a window, and in case the weather gets foul, we can work the finish line and be out of the elements. And this year, I'm not even sure if he's going to set it up or not because the weather is absolutely fantastic. It's low 50s. It's going to stay in the upper 40s through the overnight hours. Tomorrow morning, it's going to be in the low 50s. So not only does that make it good for the finish line, but for the runners coming in, it's not absolutely cold, so if you got a lot, if they have a lot of walking going on, they're not going to freeze just because the temperatures are low. So I'm getting ready to pass milepost 1.5 here. I've got to go to, I think it's like milepost 16 or 17, I think, is where I switch over to the beach road from the bypass, and that's right around the start of the 100K, which is at 2 o'clock, I think, or 3 o'clock. It's kind of it's a 30-hour cutoff for the 100 miler. Same thing with the 100K, which starts at, I believe, at 3 o'clock. It's got a you have to finish by noon tomorrow, and then we'll break down the finish line. Being down here last year, I ended up getting, if you're a regular listener to the show, you might recall that I got a flat tire by driving through some high water, drove over some kind of debris from the storm, and got a flat tire. I came out of the runner's briefing, which was the night before the race. I came down the Friday before the race last year. And my tire was flat enough where I was going to have to go get it fixed. I was able to get it pumped up enough to get to a shop, and some guys stayed a little bit late on a Friday evening to fix the tire for me, and I was very grateful for that. I meant to write those guys a note or a letter just to thank them, to tell them, it had to be fixed because I needed to, get to this finish line the next day. But anyway, I'm going to avoid the high water this year, and the weather sure is a lot different. And I'm looking to the left here. Now I can see the Atlantic Ocean. I'm heading southbound right now on the bypass, and it's just gorgeous down here. I'll be back down here again in May with a college fraternity reunion. It's 9 of us guys from my college fraternity when I was in school from 87 through 1991. And we've been meeting every year since then, since we graduated. Obviously, it's not some people have kind of come and go, but it's been a core group of 9. They continue to get together every year. Now that we're all in our mid-40s, it's, as you can imagine, it's pretty much college behavior all over again. And a lot of smack, talking smack and whatnot. So I'll be back down here in a couple months. Just excited to get over on the beach road. I'm going to stop at the Country Deli for lunch. Right now it's about 12:24. This is kind of a traditional place I always go for a sandwich while I'm down here. There's also a great pizza place down here around milepost 9 called Daredevil's Pizza, which I am not going to be able to go to this year just because of time. But I'll definitely come down and hit that in May. What I'll probably do is check in again when I get on the route that I ran, and just share some thoughts from some stuff that I remember. Okay, now I'm on I'm on Route 12. Got some lunch at Country Deli. Ate half of a big old loaded roast turkey sandwich. Seen lots of runners so far. Most people are in shorts. I'm now. The runners I'm seeing now are well within, not quite the halfway mark. So they've been running since 5 a.m. So let's see, right now it's almost 1 o'clock. So that's, 7 hours? I'm seeing several of them. They're all running, facing traffic, going southbound. And it's pretty cool because I remember being out here, the weather was very much like this. And I like to kind of turn and see the look on their face. A lot of people got covered up, got hats and different things around their shield in their neck. But they got a long way to go, and it'd be kind of cool because I'll be seeing all these people come through if they make it. One of the highlights on the route is the 2 mile long Bonner Bridge that you get to run on, and it's just spectacular views of the Sound on the west and the ocean on the east. And that's one of the biggest highlights of the race, in my opinion, was being able to run over that and not having to be shuttled across. I remember in some of the race literature when I was considering the race, or after I'd signed up for it, I think back in 2012, that they were going to have to shuttle runners over that bridge because it just wasn't wide enough for traffic and runners. And so what they were going to do, they'd have a shuttle bus, and you'd have to sit there and wait, I guess, until they had enough to run you across. I can't remember how they were going to do the logistics, but it was going to work out to where you weren't going to be penalized. I think they would adjust your time or do something. I can't remember what the idea was. But that didn't have to happen. That's not going to happen this year either. And I can see the bridge up ahead. I just passed milepost 23, and I can't remember what the last milepost is. I wish I knew that so I could kind of count them off in my head as I go down. But anyway, it's a gorgeous day, and I'm really happy to be coming down here and helping Brandon out. And so I'm kind of going down here looking at these runners, wondering which one is the who's in first place. Passing milepost 24. I'm south of the inlet and went over the bridge, and they had a warning sign a couple miles back about off sand on the road south of the inlet. I remember this when I was down here a couple years ago running it, how much sand blows onto the road. And you can imagine I'm kind of driving in a valley of sand dunes right now. Right in the middle, there's sand all down the middle of the road. I still maintain about 50 miles an hour. Clearly, this is where all sand moves around a lot in storms. Water washes over from the ocean. The ocean is just, I don't know, maybe 100 feet to my left, to the east. I remember running through this area. It was becoming evening, because the race I ran started at 3. And then once it got dark, it's a scene I'll never forget, the way the moon kind of rose over the ocean. At least that's my recollection of it. You know, time tends to embellish things. But I did make a video of my experience. If you've new listener to the podcast, it's a pretty cool movie. It just kind of documents the effort and the scenery. That's available at AshlandDave, or email me at AshlandDave@gmail.com. And I can explain how that works. But anyway, just a lot of nostalgia coming through here. It's pretty cool. Well, I just got off the phone with Mechanicsville Dave. He's got a place down here, and I'm going to stop at his house on the way down, just a real quick stop. He's actually going to come help at the finish line. We kind of connected this week. He listens to the podcast, so maybe I'll get a couple quotes from him. So, I'll be talking to him here just in a few minutes. Well, I'm at a stoplight of all things here in the Outer Banks. They've got it to a one-lane road because of so much water wash over and sand on the road. It's down to one lane. This should be interesting for the runners. Just crossed over a temporary bridge. This is what was washed out last year, this whole area, and people got stuck down here, and they had to get ferried back by a ferry boat that carries cars. Maybe I'll get Dave to explain that a little bit when I see him here in a little bit. This is just really interesting. If you can imagine, like after it snowed for about a couple hours, that's what the road looks like, but it's sand, not snow on the road. It's really interesting. Well, here I am driving through standing water again, and there's a runner over to my right, and I'm almost standing still. I'm going to let him take the road, otherwise he'd just be going through. Oh, he's got some Hokas on. Yeah, this is really interesting. Sure hope that I didn't pop any tires in that one, like last year. All right, I just ran into Dave. I'm gonna walk up on his deck here. What's going on, man?
Hey, Dave, how you doing? Ashland Dave.
Mechanicsville Dave, what's up, man?
How you doing?
Thanks for having me over for
sure.
A few minutes.
I'm glad you stopped in. Maybe you can catch us on the way out tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh God, what a gorgeous view.
That's the houses over at Dance. Remember that movie? That's that chick flick movie.
Oh, that's the one.
Yeah. They just moved that there.
Oh, you got a dog in there.
There's a little dog. She's in heat, so I'm not letting her out. So I don't have to chase.
God, you guys are so close.
Yeah, for being actually four houses off the beach, you know, direct beach access, you know, it's that used to be a cul-de-sac right there.
Wow, now it's they had to build it up?
Yeah, and that house right there on the end is condemned. Like a couple of these houses over here are condemned. And we just put the siding on last year.
Looks
hardy,
good.
That's that hardy board stuff that's supposed to last forever. So all these houses, they have to redo all those houses. I think
wow.
To the left you can't see is condemned, but like these guys, this is not a state maintained road, so all the water, there's probably 2 feet of water right there.
Where, how do these people get to their houses in a car? Just have to have a big vehicle?
What they'll have to do is wait for the state to come in to clean up.
Clear the road? Wow. All right.
Something.
Well, just left Dave's house. It was real nice to see him. He's only 50 yards or so off the race route. And he says he's been looking for... Oh, there's the Garmin. Like, I don't know where to go. There's only one way to go, really. So I'm going to head on down and get things set up and go from there. What a beautiful day.
36 miles on North Carolina.
All right, 36 miles to go. All right, based on what the Garmin told me that I'm 36 miles out, pretty sure that I've already passed the lead runner. Matter of fact, I just passed one of the shuttle bus drivers setting up the one of the water stops. It was a guy, I can't remember his name. I met him last year, 2 years ago. I remember he started the 100K and finished that because I remember seeing him out on the road. And he volunteered last year. Looks like he's back this year. I should have stopped. I didn't notice that was him until I was already passed. But I'm about 1:30 now. I just want to make sure I'm down there by 2. I like to be early to everything, especially when somebody's counting on you to show up. So, I don't know. I don't know if Dave was saying that winds last night were 50 miles an hour, but today is just gorgeous. Let's see how it all works out. Just still making some observations here as I continue south. Getting ready to come up on the Cape Hatteras Lighthouse. I remember, just a memory I have from a couple years ago, seeing the light of that lighthouse. Just, you never seemed to get up to it. And I remember when we got to there, I think I was with, might have been with Tom at that point. It seemed like the lighthouse was, miles and miles off the road, because that's where the last full aid station was. And my feet were hurting so bad. I remember every step was agony. But at that point, I remember somebody saying only a half marathon to go. And you put that in perspective when you're doing 100 kilometers. A half marathon is really not that far, except for when it's the last 13.1 miles of the race. So I'm almost in, not quite in Hatteras yet. I'm in, I think, Frisco is the area that this is called. I'm in the area called Buxton. There's a lot of commercial stuff down here. It's not as built up as farther up in the Kill Devil Hills area. And I remember on the way back, 2 years ago when I finished the race, I think I stayed awake for a half hour, and then I just was asleep almost all the way back home in the car. So I haven't seen any more runners, so I think I definitely passed the lead runners many miles back. So it'll be interesting to see who ends up winning when we get to the finish line. All right, I'm at the finish line. I see the banner says Welcome Graveyard 100, and as with almost everything else in my life, I'm the first one here, early as usual. So I think what I'll do is just... park the car, I'll send Brandon a text letting him know that I'm here, and just await the work, wait instructions on what to do next. And beautiful drive down here, beautiful drive. I'm gonna see if I can find the exact finish line spot here. He's probably made a mark in the pavement. Oh, I remember how much pain I was in. Let's see, I do not see any official mark. I know it's not a certified course, so I think I'll just park and just wait. All right, fast forward to 5:45 p.m. We've got everything set up at the finish line. I'm sitting in my car because it's so windy. This is a lot more than what he had last year, Brandon Wilson being the race director. Got a 10 by 20 tent for the runners to come through. He's got three of the metal barriers that you see at the finishing line at marathons on both sides. He's got cones and then a tent with the finish timing. It's electronic timing this year. I don't think he had that last year because, I mean, we wrote everybody's time down on a clipboard, and that was part of my duties last year. It appears that that will not be happening this year. So I'm just kind of privately thinking here. I'm not really sure what I'm going to be needed to do over the course of tonight. So we'll see. There's a guy named Mike Melton here. He's doing the timing. He drove up from Florida. He's been dropping all the timing mats and collecting all the data. And, you know, in ultras, runners don't come in large packs. They're usually coming at one at a time. You might have two, three people come in, you know, within a minute or so of each other. But generally, it's not really a situation where you have, you know, gobs and gobs of people crossing the finish line, and you need you know, something, a computer mat to pick it up. But this will make it really easy to put everything in the computer right away. And I think he's got the results posted online as they happen. So yeah, my next duty really is to be assigned. We got the generators plugged in. Lighting, the clock is up, everything is secured to the ground, the two tents, because the wind, sun is starting to go down behind me, and so yeah, I'm not really sure what I'll be doing all night long. There definitely will be an opportunity to sleep some in the car. Then again in the morning, I'm going to be sent up to the last aid station, which is 13 miles from here at the lighthouse. And help break that down and pack that material in the trailer and then come back. And then I'll obviously break down the finish line here when the race is over at noon on Sunday. So, yeah, I kind of thought I'd be tracking some of the times, but nevertheless, there'll be plenty to do, I'm sure, and it'll be neat to see a lot of these people come in. So, all right, well, first runner I heard is past aid station 4. And that's 13 miles from here, and so the first runner was expected by 7, so we'll see if that happens. That's about an hour away, a little over an hour away. All right, we have the winner coming in at close to 1438 hours. This is the guy, he's from Virginia.
He's the one I saw when I was telling you guys I saw a runner.
Oh, was it?
That's him.
14, it's going to be inside 1440. Wow. Said the red light on the back. Olivier LeBlanc. We're taking it off. All right.
Woo!
Wow. Remarkable.
There you go.
Good job, man. All right.
Wow. Graveyard, man. This is Mr. Schwarzer. He's the director. Right,
congratulations.
Oh, thank
well
you.
Done.
Yeah, sorry. I'm going to get you to the museum tonight. But I'll come back. I'm going to let you do the next buckle.
My God.
This is his champion's buckle. Oh, if they're under 24 hours, I'll give them.
All right. Woo!
Woo!
Valamir.
Woo!
All right. Got him last year. Hey!
Sorry. You're the best.
Congratulations.
Well done.
Congratulations! Hold on. Where is it? Alright, it's about 3:30 in the morning now. Definitely plenty of work to do now. People are coming in, about one runner, about every 20 to 25 minutes or so. I think we've had 15 come in, lots of drops, still pitch black out here. Had the sky is just so clear when you're away from all the lights of the city and stuff. It's amazing how clear the sky is. So having some fun. I did get a little bit of a nap earlier. I kind of got a little bit of a second wind. hopefully this will carry through to the morning when we got to do some physical work, breaking things down. My hope would be that the last person who's still in the race does not come in right at 12 noon. That would be the ideal situation, would be that they come in a lot earlier. That way we can break things down and maybe get out of here and get home at a decent hour and go to sleep early, get ready for work Monday. But anyway, it's getting a chance to talk to some people and some world-class runners out here. Vladimir Nunez of Brazil came in second. I think I pronounced his last name right. Connie Gardner was first female. Haven't seen any other females come in, but she's first one by far. Anyway, lots of work to do, and we've been switching out the generators, keep the power going. It's windy, but it's not bone-chilling cold. I've got several layers on, but having a good time.
And that was pretty much it. Really did enjoy helping out Brandon Wilson at the finish, and we were out of there, I think, by 12:30. I got home about 5:30 that afternoon. I did have to pull over for a little bit and rest for a while because I'd kind of been up most of the night. You know, it was a lot of work, but it was a rewarding feeling to be there and be one of the people that helped set up the finish line and shuttle the finishers from those that needed to get, that didn't have a crew, to get over to the motel where Brandon's wife Heather had the food and people's finish bags. And so I was able to shuttle them back and forth quite a bit using Brandon's vehicle. The only cruel thing being at the end was that Brandon has a Ram pickup truck that is a little high off the ground. And after these 100-mile finishers, I had to climb up into the truck. It was a little cruel. But nevertheless, everybody had a laugh about it. And I got a chance to chit-chat with some of the finishers during the mile drive from the finish line over to the motel and just ask them how they were doing. I was checking the website, Graveyard 100, and trying to get an idea of how many people dropped and what the percentage was, and I couldn't find those details, but I do know that it was a lot of DNFs. And some of those, from what we're hearing, kind of with some of the information that kind of trickled through, was that just the relentless pounding on asphalt and everything being flat is really just takes a beating on the body much more, it seems, than maybe a trail race where the ground is softer. And I don't know, it was a great experience. I was glad to get home. I was tired, but it was fun. It was a lot of work, and I probably, you know, will be down there next year. But as a result of this, I have been inspired to sign up and train for a fall race, fall ultra, and I'm going to forego the Richmond Marathon this year, and I'm going to sign up and train for the Croatan 24-hour race, which is a loop course in the Croatan National Forest in North Carolina, which is about a 4.5-hour drive from here, so that won't be too bad for the drive. My goal, it's a 24-hour timed race, and I'm going to set my goal for 50 miles, and I know that it's a 24-hour race, and you know, I guess you're supposed to run for 24 hours, but that's the beauty of a timed race, is that you can run as much as you want or can in 24 hours. But what I just really needed was I wanted to do another 50 miler, and this is just a great platform, and it's another race that Brandon directs, so I know it's going to be squared away. It has a little bit of a military theme towards the beginning because it is on Veterans Day weekend, so that's going to be I guess November 7th of this year. So that's my next goal race length for really long. I'll probably fill in some stuff here and there before then, obviously with some smaller stuff, one being the Patrick Henry Half Marathon, clearly, which will be the week before Labor Day generally. So a couple other things here before we get to the email bag section of the show. I lost my wallet the other day, but I found it. I left it at Wawa on the counter and had money in it, and I went back. Of course, it was about 30 minutes with not knowing where it was, and I was, you know, basically shitting in my pants because I had money and you know, credit cards in there and some other things that are really irreplaceable. But luckily, it was still the lady took it and she secured it, figuring I'd come back for it. So that was very nice. And I recently received from one of my aunts the flag that draped my Uncle Joe's coffin when he was buried at Arlington. My Aunt Fran is going to be moving into an assisted living home, I believe, and so she's kind of thinning out some of her possessions and giving away some of the valuable stuff for safekeeping. And back when my uncle died in 2011, and then when he was interred at Arlington, the February after that, in 2012, she was presented with his flag by on behalf of the President of the United States and a grateful nation. Exactly what the person said to her when she was presented with the flag. We were all there. And anyway, I had reached out to my mom and told her that you know, when the day came where the my Uncle Joe's flag needed a new home, I'd be proud to have that. And so that I recently received that, and I couldn't be prouder. And anyway, we'll display that proudly in the home in a display box. If you're a regular listener to the show, then you've heard me talk about my uncle, who was a World War II veteran. He died at age 95 in 2011. And then let's talk about the last thing here before I get into the email bag. Donations for Boston. I've mentioned this in the show before. Donations have been spectacular. I've gotten some donations from different parts of the world. The original goal was just $100. Now it's $200, and this is to just give Scott Menzies some, you know, walking around money. Why not? So he can get around Boston. He's going to go up and run in his wife's memory, Meg Menzies. This is the tragedy that happened here in my community a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, when Meg Menzies was hit by a car when she was out for her morning run. And the horrible thing about it was that Scott watched it happen right in he was able to get out of the way of the car that had lost control, come off the road, and unfortunately the car hit his wife, and she died shortly thereafter. I had run into Scott a couple weeks ago, saw him in town running, ran with him for 100 yards or so, and had learned at that point that he had contacted the Boston Athletic Association, and he is going to be allowed to run under his wife's bib number in her honor. And so he's obviously out there training for Boston, which is April 21st. So I just decided that I would throw out to the listeners of the podcast, hey, if you feel so moved to donate money to him, so when he travels to Boston, he does not incur huge expenses on his own, go to ashlanddave.podbean.com, scroll down on the right-hand side of the homepage, and you'll see the PayPal donate button, and you can, you know, if you're so moved to do that, and several listeners have, and I'm thankful for that, and I'll probably will cut that off at the end of March so I can get that money together and give it to them. So anyway, I'll just say that once. I won't repeat it, and I'm not I won't badger people to do it. But if you're so moved, go check out the site ashlanddave.podbean.com and make a donation. It's other than what PayPal pulls out for the transaction fee, everything I'm going to give Scott cash. I'll just put it in my account and then withdraw the money and give him cash. That way there's, you know, it's no electronic transfer. It's just going to be straight cash that he can use as he sees fit to make the experience up there as easy for him and as memorable as possible. And I just know that when you have some money to spend to get around town, whether it's using a cab, eating, gas for the car, public transportation, anything, it's nice to have cash that you don't stress out over. So anyway, that's enough for that. Okay, so let's get to the email bag section of the show. See who checked in this week. All right, well, the first one's from Bobby, and this is part of the Stand Up and Be Counted campaign, that I'm going to be doing for episode 200. It's kind of taken off quite a bit here. So I heard from Bobby from Phoenix. He checked in. I appreciate that, Bobby. We will put you down in for the Stand Up and Be Counted. Let's see. I've got what that is go to Ashland Dave, or send me an email at ashlanddave@gmail.com. Just give me your name, where you're from, a short email, and that way I'm kind of just seeing who listens to the show. I can go into Podbean, which is the podcast hosting site, and go look at the IP addresses of people that listen. I don't do any of that. I don't do any analysis of the show. I don't, because I'm not really marketing anything whatsoever. So if you email me, I don't keep your email. I'm not putting it into a database to market you with anything. I'm just curious to know from listeners, not from an analysis, a computer analysis, just where people are from and who listens to the show. So that's what the Stand Up and Be Counted campaign is all about. I did it back at episode 100. Episode 200 is obviously coming up, 7 more episodes, which would be, I don't know, probably 2-3 months from now. I'll put all that together and I'll go through the list for that episode, and just so everybody else out there kind of gets an idea of where people are from. So thanks, Bobby. Appreciate it. I also heard from Anna, and she did not let me know where she's from, but she sent me a message from her iPhone. She said, what's up, Dave? I'm checking in. Hope to be counted. Love the podcast. Thank you so much. I'm going to put you in that folder. I also heard from Patrick. He standing up and being counted as well. We'll hear from him again. He's been listening a long time. He lives over in Williamsburg. I've heard from him. I just celebrated my 6th anniversary of the show. March of 2008 is when I started it. And so I think he's been listening quite some time. Also heard from David, and he is from, he did not put where he's from, but he is David Ladner. So we'll put him on the, put him in the Stand Up and Be Counted folder as well. Heard from David Williams down under, and he donated 20 to the website, so that was very, very much appreciated. To the Meg Menzies effort, to Scott's trip to Boston. David's from down under. I got two David Williams that listen to the show. One is Mechanicsville Dave, and the other is Down Under Dave. So that's pretty cool. It's kind of interesting to have two people with the same name. Also heard from Kurt W. From Bowling Green, Kentucky. We're going to put him in the Stand Up and Be Counted folder. We'll revisit his email at a future date. Also heard from Keith from Georgetown, Texas. He says he checks iTunes every evening, hopes that there's a new show out, and I wish I could get him out more often, Keith. I do appreciate you listening to the show. Put you in the Stand Up and Be Counted list. Heard from Chad. Linked the email from Chad. I've heard from him before. He gave me a race report, which what I'm going to do is I think I'm going to actually keep this and revisit this when I have a little bit more time, because I'm getting a little lengthy into the time here. Heard from Sandy. Let's see. She ran the Cowtown 50K. It was amazing. Loved the course in the air. And she got a PR in the 50K by 34 minutes. Outstanding, Sandy. Good to hear from you. She and I are still trying to do an interview. She did a 5 marathons in 5 days. And that's just really, really remarkable. I'm going to hear from Sandy quite a bit. It's always really good. Always really good to hear from her. I really do appreciate that. Heard from Tom, Ashland Tom. Of course, I think I already got him on the Stand Up and Be Counted list, but I'm not sure. Tom, let's see. I think you're kind of a staple. That's Ashland Tom. I run with him just about every weekend. And funny thing happened. I have a race clock that I borrow, and it's an older clock. I just kind of keep it in my garage, and we use it for some stuff here and there. And he had asked to use it for the little 5K Tiger truck that they were going to do in town, and I forgot to put it outside for him, so there was no race clock for that. Sorry about that. Anybody that's listening that ran the Tiger Trot, y'all didn't have a clock. But nobody called me that morning to remind me. I think I might have been out the night before partying a little bit and completely forgot. Let's see. Heard from, David did the donation. We already got that. Heard from Greg. Greg made a large donation to the Scott Menzies effort. Greg, that was very kind of you to do that. Very kind. Heard from Alex, and he was asking about my good friend Rodney. Now, Rodney, and I'm trying to do an interview with Alex, too, because he did a 100-miler. It's just time, you guys. I wish I had. Sometimes it's just hard to find the time just to do the podcast, and it's not that I'm not interested. It's just sometimes to find a quiet time in the house where I can sit in the kitchen where we have the computer and do the audio interview is tough. But Alex had asked about an update on Rodney. Rodney's out of the hospital, and he's in rehab now, and he's hoping to get back to work in April. Don't know about running yet. That remains to be seen. We also heard from Dirt Dog over at the Dirt Dogs Running Diatribe. And he also asked about Rodney, and like he said, one listener that wrote in, we can't outrun our genetics, but a healthy lifestyle and diet can kick that can far down the road. And that's what Rodney's going to be doing now. He's unfortunately his genetics are just such that it threatened his health, and so he's going to make some changes, and we'll see how that turns out. I'll keep everybody posted on that. And also heard from Scott Johnson over at the Computer Tutor web podcast that I listen to. He puts out a new one every week. If you go to computertutorflorida.com, you can check out the Computer Tutor podcast. It's every week. And he had put out a show about scammers and hackers. This is all computer stuff, nothing related at all. But it turns out Scott's is an avid runner, so we've kind of connected that way. And I thanked him for putting out that show. And he says, yeah, these scammers, they prey on an older population because they're an easy target. And he's trying to do his best to make people aware. And you're right, Scott, it's not a problem. It's a problem that's not going to go away. And Scott is hoping to do his first ultra this year. He doesn't know which race it's going to be. It's going to probably be in the fall, since there aren't too many races in Florida in the summer. Couldn't figure out why. Yeah, the heat. That was an easy one. Yeah, it's pretty obvious. But Scott, hopefully you pick 50K or a 50-miler. I'd be interested to know. They do have that Florida Keys race that's in May, and I recommend that because it's great scenery, of course, running through the Keys. Of course, that 7-mile bridge is something else. Thanks for checking in, Scott. And I think I'm going to go ahead and put you down on the check in and be counted, because I know that you listen on a regular basis, and I really do appreciate that. Let's check the time here. All right, we're about ready to wrap it up. I'm pretty excited about the training for a 24-hour race. I've never done something like that by myself. I've done a 24-hour race with a relay team where we ran 135 miles as a team. I think I did maybe 20 of that, maybe a little bit more over the course of 24 hours. 24 hours, you would think, doesn't seem that long unless you're awake the whole time. If you, 6 a.m. from Saturday to 6 a.m. to Sunday doesn't seem... I'm not even sure what time the race starts. I'd have to check. I've got to check on that. You would think, oh, that goes by pretty fast. But you got to keep in mind that usually you're sleeping 6 to 8 hours or more of a 24-hour period. And so when you're awake and, of course, you're doing something physical, that's a long time. So I don't know if I'm really going to do the full 24 hours. I don't know yet. But I do know that I think I'm going to get a complimentary registration due to my work in the Graveyard Ultra for the last couple of years. And that makes it attractive. And then also it'd be some of the same runners that I saw down at the Graveyard, and eventually I'll get to know some of these people, and that's what makes the ultra running community kind of cool, is that you see some of the same people if you work races or run them, and eventually you talk and become friends. And even this last year, I saw some of the same people that I had seen the previous 2 years at the Graveyard, and so you make that connection, and then next time you see them, you feel like you know them again. So that's pretty neat, and so that's gonna be my fall goal race. I'm really gonna, I'm gonna buckle down. I'm gonna get down on it, and make it happen. I've been wanting to do another 50 miler, and maybe with this effort, I'll end up doing more. I don't have a time goal really. It would be nice to be able to run the 50 miles within 12 hours, and I've done that before. But then that leaves a whole nother 12 hours. What do you do? I don't know. I guess you can run as much as you want in the 24 hours. I'm still giving that, thinking that through and whatnot. So, well, I'll be back in a couple weeks with episode 194. This is Ashland Dave. I'm running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish. Keep on running. Don't forget to hug your kids. And one last thing. I did mention earlier in the podcast that if you're interested in getting a video of the Graveyard 100K that I ran 2 years ago, I did make a video of that. Like I said earlier, it documents the effort, my crew's work, and some of the scenery. It's a pretty good video. I think it's about 45 minutes long. I'm offering that for free to anybody that wants it. You just have to send me an email at ashlanddave@gmail.com. And request it, give me your address, and it's in DVD format, so you can play it in your computer or play it on your DVD player on your TV. The only thing I ask is that you consider making a donation to Ashland Christian Emergency Services, which is a program here in town that helps disadvantaged people. And that's completely optional, and I just send you the address, and you decide for yourself whether you make that donation or not. I don't follow up on it. I have heard from the people at ACES when they have gotten donations from obscure donations from people around the world, because over the years since I've done that video and offered it to people, several hundred dollars have been donated to ACES, and it's, you know, done without my knowledge. I just hear about it after the fact. And so the video is free. I pay for the postage. It's no big deal. So let me know if you're interested in that. Some people have gotten that. And okay, that was it. Y'all have a good week.